Hey,
Happy
Cheryl.
Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, as Connie says. Hey, everybody. Welcome. We are here for Growing with NTI. This is kind of a sad occasion in that this will be our last night physically teaching together. We're going to try and do it via video call once I get out in Pueblo, but I leave on Friday, and so next Tuesday we'll be in. Well, we won't have a program next Tuesday, but the week after we'll be doing it together, but in two different places. So, So, we're thrilled to be with you here tonight, and we'll start with a prayer. Do you want to do the prayer, Connie?
Sure.
Thank you, God.
What a blessing this has been. How sweet it's been to share this with Jacqueline and everybody that's participating online. I do feel enriched and very, very grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you very, very much. Amen.
Amen. And ditto. That's sweet. All right, guys. Aw. And so it is. You got a picture of two little girls with their heads together and a heart between them. All right. So, I show we're at the top of 329.
Galatians chapter 3.
Yeah. Okay. So, here we go. 329. Really, here we go. I ask you now to rest, for you will be tempted to criticize yourself. But what is that really but judgment? Rest with me a moment and see the logic in the message that I share. Rest with me and know your own willingness. We are taking an important step, and I am grateful to have you by my side. That willingness kind of jumps out of that paragraph at me. We were just talking about that phenomena that I'm sure you've all experienced, where you read a spiritual text, and we were speaking particularly of A Course in Miracles, and how it just, you read it, at some point you read it and you go, what the hell did that say? You know, it just all seems like gobbledygook. And then, you know, you go back 6 months later, a year later, and it's just like crystal clear. And we were talking about the difference, you know, and maybe you've grown in understanding, blah, 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 and then it came to me, no, what that really is, it's a difference in willingness. I mean, you become willing to see what you need to see. And so so all this comes through differently depending on your level of willingness, I guess. Right?
Yeah, and I was kind of struck by the whole idea of resting. It seems like that's been a repeated message of the last, I don't know, a few weeks for me, in that you know, to just rest, just to take a moment that you might not ordinarily take, and just to sit with whatever, just a moment, just to relax into it, just to rest in it, and not be anxious about it. And there's been times that I haven't done that and felt the consequence of it, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I see when I look at you. I see faith and willingness and love. I see a heart that is so strong, not even the heavens of your universe can contain it. I see a mind that is awakening to its own heart. I see gentleness through awakening. And I am grateful to have come to welcome you back unto your truth. It is through your willingness that you have come to me now. It is through your willingness that we will continue forward together. I am grateful for your willingness. It is the water of a different bush. It is the water of the bush of life, which is also the bush that is made of light. Well, I haven't seen one of these symbols for a while. I wondered the other day when we were reading if I'd just been skipping them. I think we've gone like, I don't know, 10 weeks without reading from the Bible. But let's, now that I see this one, let me pull up the scripture here. And let's see. Connie, you want to sing or something while I pull this up?
Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please
love me do. So next week we're just going to skip the teachings completely and sing.
That's right. No one will be here. Neither will we.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, Galatians. Galatians, chapter 3. Okay. We are in the middle of this same page, 329, reading NTI Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, and I'm going to read those from the New International Version of the Bible, because we've come across an icon that says we should be reading from the Bible. I'm laughing because Cheryl says I can play Beatles songs for you with like 4 exclamation points. You don't want to sing anymore, is that it? All right. So let's. That's a good point, Cheryl. You could have done that while I was while we were singing, but anyway, here we go. The law and the promise. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. Okay, so you can see why that would need interpreting. So that's from the Bible. And this is what the Holy Spirit says about it. Abraham is a symbol of birth. And the son that was born to this symbol is the symbol. Excuse me. Abraham is a symbol of birth, and the son that was born to this symbol is the son of light. This son was blessed through God, that it may spread as has spread the light of the world. This light was not promised to one man, but to all men, as represented by the nations of the world. And this light was not promised to separate minds, but to one mind, as is represented by Abraham's one seed. Therefore, I say to you, the many of the earth are one, and your willingness is one light, shared among what seems to be many, but isn't. This is the vision I would have you see. This is the vision that will lead you to lay down your judgment.
Wow. We'll read that again.
All right. Shall I start at the top of the paragraph?
Okay.
Therefore, I say to you, the many of the earth are one, and your willingness is one light shared among what seems to be many, but isn't. This is the vision I would have you see. This is the vision that will lead you to lay down your judgment. For as you see the many as one and willingness as light, you understand what it is you do, and you begin to accept the truth of what we are together as one. You want to speak to that?
You understand what it is you do when you see the many as one and willingness as light, and you begin to accept the truth of what we are together as one.
Well, there was a part in there that made you go, wow. So we want to talk about that?
Just that this vision will lead you to lay down your judgment. So I guess it's the vision of oneness when I stop seeing through the dualistic. And I can only assume that's what it's speaking to.
Yeah, I mean, and we've been talking about that in Galatians 2. It says back here, the story of separation is a long and confusing one. But it can be broken down into simple components that you will know and understand. The world is a world of judgment because it was formed from judgment in a moment of confusion. What I thought it was going to say there, oh, here it is. Let me back up another paragraph. This is NTI Galatians chapter 2, 6 through 10. You believe in separation. Look around you. Everything you see, everything you sense, seems to be separate from you. The world is the bush, so that everything you see and sense is of the bush also. But the bush is what it is because the thought that spawned it was a misunderstood and misjudged belief. And I guess it was last week that we were talking about this, that you seem to be so impacted by this, Connie. So the foundation of the world is judgment. The foundation of judgment is the belief in separation. So, and we're really beginning to understand this concept of separation. You know, it's like we were saying a while ago when we were talking about willingness. I mean, I know it is for you too, Connie. Because you read it in the Course in Miracles, you go, yeah, separation, separation, right? You know, you just kind of, it's just hard to get. It's hard to get.
Yeah, and I think what's made the flip for you and me, and at least I'll speak for me, is this whole concept, and for me, I guess it's still a concept of, you know, I'm not a person. Yeah. And if I'm not a person, what am I? I'm not sure, but I'm one of everything that is. So, and from that, I think it's speaking to how can you judge that?
Yeah, what is there left to judge?
Yeah.
If it's just you,
yeah.
If it's just one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's being said in this paragraph. Yeah, there's once you get that, you're not separate. It's not that you're all part of something that, when assembled, becomes one, which is how we thought of it years ago or how we thought of it up until recently or whatever. You know, like a big puzzle that has to be put together and then you be one. No,
yeah,
that's not it.
Yeah, and we get little symbols in life. And everyday experiences that seems to be happening for us now that we're aware of it. I know I've got a new office manager, and she keeps walking in my office and wanting to talk about whatever piece of paper I pick up. I'll start reading it, and she'll go, have you heard anything more from Single Point? Yeah, I just got something from her. Let me read it, and I'll share it with you. And that's, you know, so it's the symbols seem to be there more and more.
Coming in line with your understanding, with your willingness to understand.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Cindy's referring us to chapter 29 of A Course in Miracles, The Unforgiven Dream. But yeah, again, it's like you think you know what separation is, and then once you begin to see oneness, and that's exactly what this paragraph is talking about. Once you begin to see it, you can see what it was you were seeing before. You know, you can
it's forgotten.
You can kind of look back and go, "Oh, I thought I knew what was being said when they were saying separation."
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, I still thought of myself as an individual self who would be collected up with all the other individual selves, and then those individual selves would make one big whole. I mean, you still, you know, again, it's that paradigm, you know, that it's that perspective, that point of view that you're looking from.
Yeah.
That, which is frankly, which is habit, and there's no guilt in it, and no, you know,
yeah,
no problem, except that it's looking at it from, you just cannot see what you can't see.
Yeah, it's a paradigm shift, and it seems like sometimes it's hard to hold on to. Except for the whole background knowledge is, I'm not a separate personality. Well, however it seems to be playing out here. Then that's all I can really seem to grasp and to know. I guess it was Regina and Laurent, and you keep reminding me that she came and Holy Spirit came and said, you have to stop seeing yourselves as
persons.
As persons. And I'm going, what? Yeah, so I'm, you know, I feel like I'm just beginning to touch on that,
which is pretty amazing after working with this stuff for 30 years, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It really is amazing.
Yeah. You know, and like you said, I remember, gosh, I don't know, it was at least 20 years ago, we were riding in your little red car through the mountains of Tennessee, and we were reading Journey Beyond Words, and you know, it's on and on about letting go of the separation, and you're just... You know, and you're reading it, and you realize that it was a good 20, maybe 30 years ago that we did that.
That sounds like 30.
Yeah. It probably was. And how you've just kind of languished in that terminology, and it. but I do feel like a light has come on with now being towed. You're not a person.
Yeah, it's just that simple. You're not a person. You're not a person that's going to wake up. You're not a person that's going to go to heaven. You're not a person. You're not a person.
Yeah.
It's not the person. The person is the thing that's in the way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and that's why they keep on saying the person doesn't awaken. Yeah. It's actually the recognition of that you're not a person is the awakening.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's what Joan Tollefson was saying
in the
sad song on Sunday.
Yeah. Cool. And all that's a little bit confusing, because like you said last, we were talking about it, I think last week, you know, there is no world. Well, there seems to be something going on, so there seems to be a world and people habitating the world. So for me, that's knowing there isn't any world, but there seems to be a world is the where my confusion might lie.
Well, and see, I think that's forgiveness.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Just things aren't what they appear to be.
things aren't what they appear to
But
be.
they're okay.
Yeah, but they're okay. Well, they have to be okay because, yeah, like Byron Katie says, you can argue with reality, but you only be wrong 100% of the time. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, that's the forgiveness part. Things aren't what they seem to be, but they're okay. So just be okay with whatever appears to be,
Because things aren't what they seem to be.
because things aren't what they seem to be.
Yeah. Nothing is what it
Yeah,
appears to be.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And Cindy says, but we're dreaming. I could wrap my head around that. Yeah, and the dreaming has been a really helpful analogy, I think. But it's the one mind that's dreaming. It's not Jacqueline that's dreaming. It's not Connie that's dreaming. It's not Cindy that's dreaming. There's one mind that's dreaming. There's a Jacqueline, a Connie, and a Cindy. And that's the dream that has to be seen through. Yeah.
But it's real sweet that there are these symbols that will take you out of the will take you to the experience of knowing it is just the dream. It's the symbols that, you know, as you're ready for them, then there'll be symbols that you're not a person. It's,
Yeah.
yeah, and the ego wants to go, oh my God, it took you 30 years to come up with that revelation.
Or disagree with it in some way, or, you know, find it disagreeable in one way or another. What do you mean I'm not a person? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the light out of my eyes, so
I think you're going the wrong way.
Well,
is that better? You think?
I don't know. Try it that way. You're not my eyes.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
All right. It's fine, Connie. It might. I think it's the other. It's the other shades. Now we won't be able to see it. I'll have to turn the lights on. Sorry, guys. Technical difficulties. Okay. Yeah. The sun is setting here. Okay, here we go. We are at the bottom of 329 NTI Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. Actually, can we go back up and read that last paragraph again after we talked about it for half an hour?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is from verses 15 through 18. Therefore, I say to you, the many of the earth are one, and your willingness is one light shared among what seems to be many. But isn't. This is the vision I would have you see. This is the vision that will lead you to lay down your judgment. For as you see the many as one and willingness as light, you understand what it is you do. And you begin to accept the truth of what we are together as one.
I wrote in the margin of my book, the idea of separation is the moment of confusion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm still a little confused because you know, it's not perfectly clear in my experience, but once again, this talks
Well,
about the symbols, and I think.
and it says, this vision that we're one is the vision I would have you see, and this is the vision that will lead you to lay down your judgment. So, you know, it's process until it's not, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, we started off, you know, the whole thing, ask you to rest. Otherwise, you're tempted to criticize yourself. Yeah, you're criticizing yourself because you're still confused. Just rest a moment
And let it be.
and let it be.
Yeah. Okay, verses 19 through 20. The truth of the history of the world is that it is the spreading of this light through one mind that seemed to be made dark by a moment of confusion. But it is the light that lives, and it is the light that is being watered. So it is the light that is our joy and our focus, not the self-condemnation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the light that is our focus, our joy and our focus. That realization is representative of our truth. I ask you not to look at the world and be sad for what it seems to be. I ask you to look at the world and be happy for what it is. See there within the world the light that cannot be extinguished. See there within the world the evidence of love alive. Love your brothers for their truth, watering therefore the light that is the truth within them. You are freed of your need to judge, as you are freed of your belief in separation. You are freed of your belief in separation, as you are willing to water the bush of light with me. And it's again, it's just like where am I focusing my attention? What am I investing in? Am I continuing to invest in, those things that speak of separation? This is the higher and the lower vibrational thoughts, by the way, what Regina's been teaching in Gentle Healing. Am I going to continue to invest in the lower vibrational thoughts, which are thoughts of separation, or am I going to choose the higher thought, which is a thought of light and love and oneness and truth and what we are?
Right. Seeing the differences.
Yeah.
For me and my brother, than realizing that symbolically and realistically and every way conceivable, it is all oneness.
Yeah, every way conceivable, it is all oneness. Through your willingness, you are healed. Through your willingness, you are free. Through your willingness, the darkness of confusion is lifted and the oneness of heart is known. And I got to tell you that, it's kind of amusing to see them hammering so hard on them. Holy Spirit hammering so hard on this idea of willingness here. But again, we talked about that at the beginning. It's like how you read a text and it seems like it makes no sense whatsoever, and it's you just can't see it. You can't see the truth in the words until you become willing to do so. And that's why you can pick up that same gobbledygook text 6 months later, a year later, 20 years later, and it then makes sense. It's a matter of willingness that has your willingness to be healed, your willingness to be able to see the truth, and that's really a tough thing it's a tough thing to see. I mean, because ego wants to go, screw you, I've been willing since day one, tell me I'm not willing. We do this thing where we fool ourselves and think we're willing, and we're as willing as we can be at the time. Nobody's going to take that away from you, from anybody, right? We're as willing as we can be at the time. And really, I'm talking about myself personally. This has been my experience in my journey. I thought I would have said that, you probably did say something like that, and those were probably my words. I didn't use the S word. I probably used the F word. But screw you, I'm willing. Right? So it's kind of paradoxical, that we don't even know how resistant we are.
Yeah, I told that story the first time that I really heard what resistance was, and I guess it's appropriate to tell you. I was out in the Utah, and I was in a canyon, and they had terrible internet stuff. And it was all a shared van, and you weren't even supposed to get on until a certain time of the day, because there was a little more bandwidth at this time of day. And we were all supposed to be doing that online program, and we were all on a deadline, and you could never get on. And so I called my guy that I was supposed to call once a week, and he goes, well, you've got a lot of resistance. And it was like, screw you.
Are
Are
you
you
didn't
telling me that I got resistance with this factor and this factor and this factor?
that seemed
And
to
then
be
it,
on my control.
yes. And then I sat for with it for a minute and I go, well, I guess you're right. It was just all plain as day that there was resistance there, that, you know, I had all those things lined up, so I didn't have to work hard. They were all lined up to validate that I couldn't be doing what I was supposed to be doing. But it was so subtle that I didn't even recognize my resistance.
Yeah. We're just that good at fooling ourselves. You know, we just are. I mean, that's what we're designed. That's what these units were designed to do. You know, this is what this brain was designed to do, is to keep you believing in things, that things are different than they actually are. That we're these separate individuals in this world of separation, and it's not true. It's just not true. And, you know, as we practice, whatever your practice is, and I don't think that it matters what your practice is, it's the practice of willingness. You know, as we practice our willingness, we become more and more willing to be healed, more and more willing to see, and we see. And so it's really just a factor of willingness. So, you know, we get these satsang teachers on here and we go, well, tell me, what'd you do to wake up? You know, I mean, you know, how many Hail Marys do I say, or mantras, or how many minutes do I meditate? And it's minutes, hours, you know, but it's all really, a factor of our willingness. It's to the extent that our willingness opens up, so does the truth.
And you hear that, you know, those that have ears, let them hear, and you just don't until you do. And that's but you sit there in willingness until you do.
Seems like there's something else.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It's So, anyway, cool, huh? I was just going to say that, you know, there's humor here too, because, you know, how could it be any other way? If the one mind that I am is all powerful, and it goes, I no longer want to see myself as all powerful, you know, or I no longer want to see just one of me, right? I want to see a multitude of me. I mean, it's just a testament to the power of the mind that, you know, we're knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door, and can't seem to get through. Well, there is no door. You know, it's just, that's how powerful the creative ability is, that you could create something so convincing with such depth, with such detail, with such, you know, character, that it couldn't be seen through for 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If I could write a play that good, right? I'd be a best-selling playwright, right? Or what? I mean, it's just designed, so well designed, that of course only your willingness could open that up. Because whose willingness is it? It's not Connie's, it's not Jacqueline's. It's the willingness of consciousness, become aware of consciousness, right?
Yeah, the whole premise of forgiveness, it's just amazing. You know, and I you kind of figure that's maybe why the Course doesn't say here's what forgiveness is, but the whole premise of things are not what they seem to be. So you know, don't judge them. Let them be happy with be happy with that and let it unfold. So you have this whole world, but it's not what it seems to be. So how do you, if everything you see in is not what it seems to be, how do you get on the other side of that?
Right.
Well, it is your willingness to know that things aren't what they seem to be.
Yeah. It's your willingness to be undeceived.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, and you know, yeah, whether it be the little symbols that come your way, or you know, having the Course in Miracles, or NTI knocking the head when you go in the bookstore, or whatever it is, but there, it is the willingness.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It's totally amazing. Yeah. Yeah, and it's And from that perspective, you don't have to give yourself a hard time about it taking, you know, a couple thousand years.
Through your willingness, you are healed. Through your willingness, you are free. Through your willingness, the darkness of confusion is lifted and the oneness of heart is known. You and your brothers are one. I am one with you. This is our joy, as you are coming to know. Lay down your judgment and welcome our truth. What is one cannot be separated, and what is not separate cannot be judged.
Yeah, that's what we said a while ago, right?
Be willing to lay down your judgment with me. I will show you through the guidance of your heart how to seek judgment no more. Yeah, and we talked about that last week too, you know, how the truth of our being is lies in our hearts. You know, what resonates there we know is the truth. We know what beyond knowledge is the truth, what resonates in our hearts. And that's the distinction that's been being, that's the point that's being made here. I will show you through the guidance of your heart how to seek judgment no more. Okay, we are on page 330. We're on page 330, NTI, Galatians chapter 4. The message that you hear from my lips is a consistent message. It is the message of love and freedom. You can misunderstand my message when you listen through the ears of judgment. You can take my message of freedom and make of it a slave. In this way, my message is lost to you. And isn't that what we do when we open up A Course in Miracles, or when we opened it up 30 years ago, and we're like, wait, you want me to do what? you're saying I want to be a person. I like being a person. I want what I want. You know, I don't want you messing with me. You know, you say surrender, I hear sacrifice. You know, we turn everything on its head when coming from that perspective. So the message of freedom, what is really being told is, what we're really being told is we are free. And to the ego, the mind that wants to be confused and stay confused, it doesn't sound like freedom. It sounds like slavery. You want me to submit my what to you? My will to you? I ask you to lay down your judgment.
Sorry.
It's all right. That's Connie's phone. It's pleasant, huh?
It's another Medicare call.
Really? Connie turned...
I'm turning 65 in August. I get about a dozen calls a day for somebody wanting to sell Medicare.
And she's got it already. I ask you to lay down your judgment and listen to me with clarity. Lay aside your own wishes, that you may know what it is that I say. The world is something you look upon and believe is real. When you make this mistake, you pay homage to a false god. Your false god takes many forms, but always its purpose is the same. It is the purpose you have given it. The purpose of the world, as it is seen and believed, is to tell you that you are separate. When you believe the world, this is the message you receive. And of course, you know, that just keeps us in the loop. I mean, that is a description of the loop, the perceptual loop, which... What I see, I think. What I think, I experience. What I experience, I see. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an invitation to step out of the loop, quit believing what you see, quit believing that the world is. I was going to say the world is something, but it's quit believing that the world is. It's forgiveness. It's what we were just talking about.
Yeah, it absolutely is forgiveness. It's saying that
things are not what they appear.
That's right. And therefore, you don't have to judge it.
Right. Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, guys, are you all still out there?
Hello.
It's okay if you're not, because we're having a great time. We're okay, good. All right. Do not judge yourself for believing the world. When you judge yourself, you agree you are separate. I mean, it's just, yeah, further into that pit, right? Further into the belief in separateness. When you judge yourself, you agree you are separate. For in order to be judged, you must be separate from something that you can be judged against. That's really amazing. I wrote that last week in my journal. That's just amazing to me that it's put that way. I'm looking around you to see if I... Let's see my journal. Yeah. Hi, Kathy. Inner wisdom said to me, there is a way of being that allows you to be without measuring against concepts you make up, against others, against time. When you are tempted to listen to worry, ask me to show you a higher thought. Yeah, it's just, well, and I was worried quite a bit. It says, worry is not of the heart. Worry is of the mind, which would tell you that you are not enough, don't have enough. Those thoughts are thoughts of sickness. There is a way of being that allows you to be without measuring against concepts you made up, against others, against time. And that's what we do. I mean, we not only judge others against some measuring rod, we do it for ourselves. And, you know, there are a multitude of measuring rods, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the very idea of separation.
Yeah, the measuring rod is you against anything and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you see yourself as a separate person.
Right. Right. And that's exactly what this is saying. For in order to be judged, and saying this applies when you judge yourself. Do not judge yourself for believing the world. When you judge yourself, you agree you are separate. For in order to be judged, you must be separate from something that you can be judged against. You know, what's there to judge in oneness?
Right.
I mean, therein's the discussion, right? My purpose for this discussion is not to judge you or to tempt you to judge yourself, but to help you to see what you do with the power of your mind. Yeah, that's what we were talking about a while ago, right? How powerful the mind is. I said that the world is a false god. Every part of it is an idol. Each idol represents the god, so that even the false message of separateness is one. Yeah, and I wrote in my margin here, and I was thinking of this a while ago, I wrote all is holographic. You know, everything is a representation, so even when we try to be separate, even the separateness echoes as oneness. It echoes throughout oneness, right? Because it would have to. Each idol represents the god, so that even the false message of separateness is one. Let's take a moment to look at a few of the idols that teach the message of their god. Let's look at the way this message is sent, received, and learned. The world contains different people with different personalities and different points of view. Sometimes commonalities between people are strong, but always there are differences to keep them apart. The world contains different places that look different and seem different in weather, formation, and animal life. Each place has its beauty that you may commune with, but each place also offers threats to remind you it is separate. The world offers experiences that you may learn from, adapt to, and enjoy. Masses of people may share the same experiences and join through them, but always there are others with different experiences with whom you cannot seem to join. The world is effective as a teacher of separateness because it allows you to join and still it tells you that you are separate. In this way, it is an effective false god. Yeah, and that's we again, this is what we were saying. You know, that's what that's what we like to think, that we are one in our separateness, right? That we're all pieces of this one big puzzle. That there's not one big puzzle, there's one big piece. That's it. There are no separate pieces. And again, you know, Joan Tolleson was talking on. Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy, we're on page 331. On Sunday, Joan Tolleson was talking about how it would be silly for the weather in Miami to be jealous of the weather, and or maybe vice versa, because that's pretty good weather, but, you know, be jealous of the weather in Fresno. It just makes no sense, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, so it, we, the point I think it's making here is we seem to have this as separate individuals. We seem to have all these things that keep us separate and keep reminding us that we're separate. The whole world reminds us that we're separate because, you know, I'm a female and he's a male, and I'm white and he's black, and I speak English and they speak Chinese, and I like chocolate ice cream and they don't like ice cream at all, and on and on and on. But since we're not individuals with preferences, that's not the truth of us. That's just a facade. Sorry.
I'm sorry. You must have got it right. You got the drum roll. Well, and in fact, what you say, I think, is the point. It makes this an effective illusion because, and yet we're still able to join. I'm going to join with all these people that share my preferences.
Right.
And not those people.
Right.
But I have the joining instinct.
Yeah, people join in hate.
So it's tolerable to this false persona.
Yes.
You know, I'm reminded of that scene in The Matrix, where he says, you know, we tried another world before this where we made everything perfect. And you know, the perfect world for everybody. Nobody suffered. There was no hunger. There was no hatred. He said, but it was a total disaster because people kept waking up from the program. He said we lost entire crops because it was too perfect, right? So I'm reminded of that when I read this, because this is the perfect mixture of, okay, you're separate, but you've got that instinct to join, so here you can join a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. But it makes it an effective illusion. So the world is effective as a teacher of separateness because it allows you to join and still it tells you that you are separate. In this way, it is an effective false god. But can a false god create itself? Can a false god develop and deliver its own messages? Who makes the false god a god? It is the one who worships it that made it. For the one who worships it had a desire.
And when it's saying it, it's talking about the separation.
The false god is the god of the belief in separation.
Okay.
Yes. So the world is effective as a teacher of separateness because it allows you to join and still it tells you that you are separate. In this way, it is an effective false god. But can a false god create itself? Can the world create itself? Can a false god develop and deliver its own messages? Who makes the false god a god? It is the one who worships it that made it. For the one who worships it had a desire. And through the image of the false god, that desire seems to be manifest. Right? The world is proof of the belief in separation.
Right.
I mean, the world seems to give life to this belief in separation, to the proof that separateness is real, which of course it's not.
Right, and that's, of course, and that's the whole thing, and that's why you're never good enough, and you're always comparing yourself with this false idol, false god. I'm sorry, that's kind of a tangent. Go ahead.
But is the message of the false god true? If it was made apart from God and attributed to an image that isn't real, what keeps the false message alive within the experience? Okay, here's the answer to that question. It is the mind of its maker that holds up the false image through its worship of the false image and its practice of its message. Without the involvement of its maker, the false god is without power, because the false god is without power. All power is of its maker. I mean, it's Regina's Plato example, right? I mean, there's only one life. There's one life. And anything that this world seems to have a life of its own. Okay? It seems to be a living, breathing, physical thing. Its stuff is real. It all seems real. We've heard Paul Hederman make this point. It's like, but where does that reality come from? It doesn't come from that couch or those trees or that sun or those cars. That's not the reality comes from the mind of its maker, us. The reality is the life that is breathed into it. The what allows it to manifest is consciousness itself. It only exists because we say it does.
Yeah, and we make a false idol out of it.
Sure. But the point is the point is it's not, it has no power on its own. It's not like you wind it up and let it go and it will go forever, never, 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 never. The point is, if you withdraw your belief in the world will stop running.
If you quit idolizing it, right? I mean, is my point.
Well, or if you quit, I mean, if you quit getting mad when somebody pulls out in front of you, or getting mad when I pinch your arm, or thinking that it's important that I get this done before I get that done, it's any of it. It's and which maybe you, when you say idolize, you may be saying that it's a shorthand term for all of that. And I just want to be clear that it's absolutely that any belief in the world is the driving force in keeping the world alive. So we're saying the same thing, right?
Yes, I think so.
So without the involvement of its maker, and it keeps saying the false god, but without the involvement of its maker, the world is without power, because the world is without power. All power is of its maker.
Yeah, it's like anything else. Whatever's going on in that trapped in that mind of yours is the world you believe in. You know, if you're crazy with delusion sitting in the corner, that's your world. Or if you seem to be out in a world with things to aspire to and things to avoid, that's as sick as being in the corner in your delusional world. It's all delusional.
Which is back to what, Cindy's point a while ago, it's a dream.
Yes.
It's a dream being dreamed by the one mind.
Right. And it's forgiveness and that recognition of that.
To one who makes a false god, that god becomes real through worship.
Idolization.
No longer does the god seem lifeless, but the god seems real and powerful through the worship that is given it. Then the maker, who is the cause of the god, seems to become subject to the God, which now seems to be the maker. So, it's like I was, when we were talking to Joan, we were talking about, the awareness, you begin thinking that there's a world that you're, and that you're in it. You're in it, you're subject to it, and the awakening seems to be the realization that no, it's the other way around. There's you, and the world is within you. It's within the mind of, and of course, miracles would say it was within the mind of God. But it's within it's manifestation within the consciousness that we are. But it's not something that's outside of me that can have an effect on me. Right? And this so even though we the one mind consciousness dreamed up the whole thing, now we, even though we're consciousness, we're not aware of it, we think we're subject to, we're slave to that which we dreamed up. Then the maker, who was the cause of the God, seems to become subject to the God, which now seems to be the maker. This is as it seems, and this is how it is believed and practiced. But what seems is not truth, and what is truth is not changed by that which seems.
There's your definition of forgiveness. But what it seems is not truth. And what is not truth is not changed by what it seems. Yeah, it's just not true.
Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. That's it. Guess that's it for us, guys. We will not be here next week. We're going to skip next week, and then we'll be back together, although telephonically or otherwise. We'll do this in that way next time we meet, week after next. So we love you guys. We're honored to be here with you. Connie.
Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.